Hey there, Z Nation fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Z Nation After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 5, Episode 2, A New Life. We're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about Numerica, potential love triangles, and of course, that explosive cliffhanger. And we have a couple special guests with us tonight, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
One's ears right now.
I don't think we are, but this part of the song is 13 and a half minutes in, you guys.
It takes a while.
What was it you were saying, Michael? Not the journey, it's not the destination, it's the journey. This song definitely has an explosive finale, so there you go.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Anyway, yeah. Hey there, Z Nation fans! Welcome back to the After Show. Let's not waste any time. I'm Megan Salinas. To my left is the lovely Michelle Cullen.
What's up, everyone?
To her left is the lovely Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And joining us in studio tonight, we have two very, very special guests. We have the actress who plays Georgia, Katie O'Brien, joining us for the first time in studio tonight. Woo!
Oh, thanks.
We also have returning guest star champion, co-executive producer of the show, and the writer of this episode, Michael Cassett. Woo!
Happy to be here. Happy to ruin what you have.
That's why we keep inviting you back.
Keep trying, keep failing.
You'll get it one of these days.
I know.
You know, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
I know.
If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you tried.
There.
Stares at the end of this episode.
Like setting off an explosion. Yes, Michael. I want to ask, why can't we have nice things?
It's the apocalypse. We've never had nice things. If there's a nice thing, we crush it.
Every time we think we have something nice.
That's right.
You explode a bomb.
Not only do you crush it so fast.
And thoroughly. But I mean, we saw that coming with Cooper, let's be real.
We'll get into that.
We saw that coming.
We'll definitely get into that. But before we get into sort of the nitty-gritties of this episode, let's go ahead and go around the table and give our initial thoughts. But real quick, guys, if you are watching live, Katie's got you covered on the live chat. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVZNation. So if you guys have any comments on this week's episode, go ahead and leave them in either of those, and we will give you a shout-out. So yeah, guys, what did we think of the second episode of season 5?
I had brain, and then it just kind of, so obviously,
do you need
and
a
someone
biscuit?
Ate it, I might need a biscuit, beware. So, you go first, I'm really trying, and it's not working.
Oh, God. It's contagious.
Do you need some help?
I might have some biscuits in my car.
Yeah. Megan, you start.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Go ahead.
I really enjoyed this episode. I feel like the show is somewhat reinvigorated this season. It feels refreshing, and the writing is just brilliant. I loved this episode, so shout out to you, Michael, for writing it. I just thought it was very well done, and the pacing was amazing, and it's a brand new storyline and idea within the universe of Z Nation, and it was just fascinating to watch, and I love that Citizen Z was back, waiting for Kaya, but...
Yeah, I love it so much. For me, this episode had some of the best character interactions I think we've seen on the show to date. The intro scene with Cooper and Warren I thought was exceedingly well done. All of the actors, you can tell, like, you know, this is definitely the fifth season that they've been doing the show together. All of the actors play so well off of each other. This was a joy to watch. And I will say, even up through the end where that cliffhanger happened, because, like, you get towards the end and you're like, things are going too well, something's going to happen, the other shoe's going to drop at some point, but
and
all in all.
And it did, explosively.
Yep.
What
Katie?
Struck me about this is that for Z Nation, for a lot of it, we get episode, episode, episode. It's very episodic. It's not quite one-off. They mostly still follow the overarching plot, but it's here we're in this situation, and here we're in this situation, and there's a bit of a time skip between. These, it seems to have dropped its episodic nature, and everything is flowing together, and I appreciate that. I like the change.
How about you guys? Again, you guys work very, very hard on the show, and we're very appreciative of that. But, like, what is it like getting to sit down and watch it all come together?
I'll let Katie go first.
Yeah, that's really strange. Actually, I didn't even think about that. It is a little more serialized this entire season. Yeah. I think you'll get that vibe throughout it.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat. Which I prefer, especially going on like an epic adventure, like an apocalypse adventure or something like that. But watching it, it's weird. I don't know. It's different because, you know, you're like, oh, this line, that line got taken out.
Oddly enough, I find myself saying that too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, I thought that might
have been. That line got changed.
It wasn't important. Okay. It's fun.
It took 9 hours, but I guess yeah, it wasn't important.
It's fun. It's fun.
None of those 15 takes were good enough.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm mostly.
There are no 15 takes on this show.
No. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. And I mostly get to be, you know, with a certain group of the cast this time through. So there's a lot of stuff that happens when I'm not there that I didn't get to see come out. And so you get to see everyone's performance. Like, I'm sure we'll get to it later, but like, 10K going up to Red when he wants to say hi or whatever, and it's like slow-mo and wind's blowing through her hair and all that crazy stuff, and he's got these goofy expressions and all that. Had no idea that was coming, so it was just as much of a joy for me to watch that, I'm sure, as people that also didn't know that was coming.
Everyone else?
Yeah, yeah.
No, even the writer. I mean, you know, I'll take credit where I can get it, but every script is, it's, you know, it's group plotted. Our very clever group led by Carl and with, you know, Dan and Natalia and Jen and everybody. We, you know, all work on the stories together, and then somebody goes off to write a couple of drafts of the original, and Carl goes through it, and then it kind of comes back to you at some point with Carl saying, well, this is what I think and this is where it might go, and then it goes to the production and things change, evolve. Sometimes it's great, sometimes you go, what happened to that stuff that I liked so much? But by and large, it was kind of fun for me to sit there and see it all cut together with music and effects and sports sounds and all that nasty fun stuff we do, and the lighting and a terrific direction by Alex Yellen, who couldn't be bothered to be here tonight. Not that we resent that or feel abandoned, but
you really do want to ruin what we have.
I'm your own zombie apocalypse right here in AfterBuzz TV.
We can't escape you.
Let's check under the desk before we leave today, lest we find a bomb left here by Michael.
If we get out early, you should be.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm closest to the door. So.
And speaking of, actually, I...
Yeah. I'm taking the new leader of Numerica with me.
Bye! Yeah. Well, we appreciate the heads up. Thank you so much. So, yeah, guys, let's talk a little. I want to touch on this, obviously, the whole episode, but I wanted to know, was there a moment that stood out to you guys as our favorite moment of this episode?
I really did like the slow-mo 10K going to go see Red and then just bailing at the absolute last second. Like, everything leading up to that, though, you tell him. No, you tell him. You're nice and everyone likes you. And then Doc just, you know, rolling a nat one on that charisma check. And just, it was beautiful. Just that whole subplot was so much fun.
I think my favorite part of this episode was Warren, Murphy, and Cooper. And just watching Kalita Smith's acting.
Oh, so
in that
good.
Scene, it was just so powerful and wonderful, and it didn't go the way I thought it would, her leaving with Murphy, and so it was just fascinating to watch the quick twist.
For me, hands down, Black Summer flashback. Anytime we get stuff at the very start of this particular zombie apocalypse, it's always a huge highlight for me. I'm pretty sure my favorite episode last season was that whole news studio episode. Mm-hmm. That one or the bottle episode in the barbershop. Those are like neck and neck for my favorites from last season. But yeah, so anytime we get a glimpse into the world as it was falling apart, I always have a really good time. How about you guys? Favorite moments from tonight's episode or from Friday night's episode?
I actually, I forgot the flashback was in it. That's kind of like a big part. I'll have to get back to you on that. I have to think about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of standout moments.
The flashback was big for me, but mostly it was kind of tied with all the reunions, seeing everybody see each other, Citizen Z and the gang, and yeah, the 10K in Red was it just especially set up by Doc. That was a Z Nation moment for me.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that. Yeah, just seeing every, because I've watched the show, so, you know, it's fun to see how they all came back together. And Citizen Z, DJ Qualls is so freaking cute. I can't handle it. Him being so excited to see everybody and, like, hugging Sarge and her being like, what? And then hugging her again.
She's like, I don't know, like, you would come here.
What is this? Like, it just, everybody's personality's got to come out. Introduction of Pandora, her being, like, swooping into every scene that she's in, all, like, sexy and sultry or whatever.
She is a horror.
She was, excuse me. How dare you? But, and then,
language. Yeah. Horror. H-O-R-R-O-R. Yeah. Come on.
To each her own.
Yeah, to each her own, I guess. and, you know, Zach Ward as Dante, he's just a treat both to work with and to watch. You know, there's a part where I was just blown away. I don't know why this moment really stuck out to me where Pandora reaches down and touches his hand, and he just claws the table to get it away from her. And
the,
I was like,
the body work that the two of them do for their characters, it's so eerie and yet so fitting. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore it. I'm with you 100%. And yeah, Zach Ward does this really cool thing with his voice for
it's
Dante.
It's the Batman voice. It lives down here, but it's not ridiculous.
Like, I didn't even recognize that it was Zach Ward until this episode where he took off his glasses and I was like, whoa! Mm-hmm.
I saw it right away and I was so excited. I was worried he was going to die really quick because I loved him so much.
But you just explained something to me. I didn't realize Christian Bales was a talker.
Suddenly it's coming around together.
God, that explains so much.
That's how he survived that explosion. Yeah. Spoilers.
Tom Hardy can't be far behind.
Well, no. Tom Hardy can do anything, though.
Yeah. Well, before we get too far into the episode, we have a quick announcement for you guys. Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels, such as the animation channel, where you can see some more of our lovely faces. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. So, thank you, guys.
Great voice.
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit. You touched on it a moment ago. Let's talk about Cooper and Warren. Oh, my goodness.
When we were watching that first episode and we were talking, like, I had put my bets on Cooper's gonna die and you'd put your bets on Cooper is a serial killer. And I mean, he certainly displayed some serial killer tendencies and he's probably dead by now.
You were both a little right.
Yeah.
Split the difference.
Like, we all knew that this wasn't going to last because Warren's happy.
Oh. Wasn't that such a weird state to see her in?
It happens on occasion. And then it's like, well, countdown to, oh my God, he lasted an entire episode. Okay, that didn't take long.
She helped him get past a personal trauma. They have great chemistry together. They get along real well. They're out, you know, it's very peaceful where they're at. And then, of course, we can't have nice things.
Okay, but a personal trauma where his loved ones are zombies, but he's still keeping them alive and enclosed somewhere, that doesn't remind you of anyone from that other zombie show? That's not usually a good thing to do.
Typically a generally red flag speaking. On a first date. Yeah, typically a red flag.
It's a red flag on any date. My family members are dead, but they're also still kind of alive and I'm keeping them in a box. Oh, what?
It's also probably not great for your mental state to be alone for an entire year.
Yeah.
Seen another human being for an entire year, so you see this gorgeous woman just like swooping into your house. Well, it's like, well,
how do we know he hasn't seen another human being in an entire year?
Yeah,
they might all be dead.
Yeah.
I think it also is, even they realize that Warren just sets her book down and is like, I think this is a dream. I don't think this can be real.
She's self-aware.
She's like, You know that this isn't going to last. It's like she knew, Michael.
She's a little meta.
She started the ghosting.
Yeah, she's been in the zombie apocalypse for a decade by now, so she knows it's not going to last. It never lasts.
No.
It just doesn't last.
She's got this thing called pattern recognition.
All you get are breaks. There is no happy ending, but you get a reprieve every now and then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For a second, I thought you were going to say all you get are brains.
That's
legit.
That as well.
If you're a talker, maybe. Oh, no. But what I really took away from this is that Cooper wasn't looking for a partner. He wasn't looking for Roberta herself. Like, that's not what was important to him. If you listen to what he says when he apprehends Murphy and Roberta finds out about it, he says, he was going to take you away from me. He was looking to possess her. And, like, if he had just done the right thing and, you know, brought Murphy to her. Now, granted, it would be one thing if he just assumed that Murphy was a monster who wanted to kill Roberta. Like, that's one thing.
He is a red, weird-looking dude.
He does look like Satan at the moment.
Yeah, it's like, by the way, Satan's here. Roberta, I don't know if you know this. You know.
But the fact of the matter is that he was removing her ability to choose in that equation. And that's a red flag. That's a red flag for any relationship.
He must be punished.
And he could have averted the situation entirely by being like, oh yeah, I saw her. She went that way. Problem solved. Bye.
Still, again, highlighting the problem of choice and agency for Roberta in that regard. So, not boyfriend material. Sorry, Cooper. I thought maybe you were a keeper.
But there were still less violent ways to do it than locking a man in your trunk. Like,
where your family's probably still just dead in there.
In the car!
Yeah. Yeah.
In
there.
Well, he didn't lock him in the front seat.
Still,
so.
The smell.
What I really liked, though, is, again, talking about how good the acting is like, and to the quality of the dialogue, too, is that he's like, when Roberta comes in, she's like, what are you doing in here? He's like, I don't know. Like, there was no plan here.
It's the writer speaking.
We left that in the script.
Yeah,
and it's great.
No, it works so well.
Motivation to come. It's in brackets.
Placeholder dialogue. Yeah. Well, what I appreciated it because it showed that he was making this decision out of emotional desperation. Mm-hmm. He's not evil to our knowledge, but he is making the wrong choice, and he's very much aware of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Serial killer.
I mean,
it's hard to be a serial killer in the zombie apocalypse. I mean, either everybody,
the postman managed it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Season one, I think.
Well, I wrote him.
Yeah.
It's still, it's nobody's around. So, I mean, he may have serial killer impulses or, you know, be a potential, but, you know.
His solution to the problem was still, instead of, no, I haven't seen her, or, yeah, she went that way, was, come with me, allow me to lock you in my trunk. You're right, there was no plan, but why was that the decision?
He really hasn't had to make hard decisions involving other people for a long time.
Well, he chose not to mercy his wife and child.
Yeah.
So that's a decision he continued to make.
Understand the emotional turmoil behind that.
This is true.
Yeah. And then being alone for extended period of time in a very isolated place on top of all that, you can understand, again, it's a very human portrayal of a flawed individual making a bad choice.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not evil. And I will say, even though we see Z's coming towards the trunk at the end there, no body, no death, probably.
On one hand, yes. On the other hand, heavily implied. Because if he ever gets out of the trunk, that's a lot of Z's, and he may or may not have a weapon on him.
Well, it's left ambiguous. And so,
wow.
We'll never tell.
Billie Jean girl in chat got real dark. How do we know that his wife didn't kill herself just to get away from Cooper?
Oh! Ouch!
Wow! That escalated quickly.
Dark?
I mean, that really got out of hand.
I don't think...
There's another spinoff there.
Yeah.
Cooped up with Cooper.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Oh.
Where's the drums?
Yeah.
There they are.
There was a show called Hanging with Mr. Cooper several years ago, so maybe that's what it is.
He's just used to be making awful, awful jokes, and so I don't get drums very often because it's like, it's Katie again.
Well, I'm sad to see Cooper go, but because it is left ambiguous, yeah, we might see him again by the time the season's out.
But we're not surprised to see Cooper go.
Because, again, we can't have nice things.
That's right.
Are you, though?
Am I what?
He said, that's right.
Oh, yes. I heard sorry.
Oh, yeah, no.
When have you ever heard sorry?
Yeah, there's no sorry here.
Well, let's go ahead. Do we have any final thoughts on the Cooper storyline before we move on to Numerica?
We have so much more to talk about and so little time to
do
it in.
So yeah, let's go ahead and move on to Numerica, where the team they get through quarantine and we get to meet a couple new characters. I do want to talk about the scene where everybody is getting processed though, because
trying to find a pulse in 10K was just like
I love it.
What was the idea behind this scene? Was just like, well, of course, if they're setting up as structured a society as they possibly can, this would naturally be a hurdle they'd have to go through.
And the idea that even in the zombie apocalypse, if there's still some jackass who has a bunch of rules, that you're going to have to go through. And anybody, if there are three people, one of them is going to have some rules for the other two. And so, yeah, just that was actually me going entirely Michael Cassatt on it. Like, yes, there's going to be a form, there's going to be an exam, there's going to be a lot of questions, nobody's going to be able to answer them all. And there's going to be somebody with a clipboard.
I was going to say, yeah, paperwork was definitely not something I necessarily anticipated in the new regime. But I got to say, Sarge takes a really good headshot.
Yeah,
as does Ken 10K. He definitely knew where his good side was.
Come on. They're both adorable. It's ridiculous.
They are.
I just loved Sarge explaining away the bite mark really quickly. Like,
that was me.
Yeah.
But just trying to find a pulse for him, just the whole, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Did you catch what his pulse was?
And, oh, no.
6 beats per minute.
Oh, no.
Explains everything.
Kind of does.
Did you catch Doc's birthday?
No.
420. No, 69.
Which, by the way, I think it wasn't the first Earth Day, but it was pretty close. It was a year later.
Yeah.
I am not at all surprised that we have that sound effect on the soundboard, just generally speaking.
Oh, I'm so glad
was
we
was it
do.
An effect?
That just naturally happens whenever someone says 420. The atmosphere itself generates that noise. Nope, never mind.
And see, I just got so delightfully distracted, I didn't notice all the deep details because of the stamp and how detailed the stamp was. And I was just watching it like someone had to make that in this new world.
Well, as we talked about last week, there's a printing press. They made posters. So, I mean, it's
not that hard to make a stamp. It's just, it's
someone carved the initial one out of a potato.
It's so detailed and I love it. It's not just a check mark. It's certified alive.
Some former DMV employee is busy at work in
America. This is my moment.
Yes. But to me, this whole process made sense because there's always, I'm sure they've had more than one talker that's gone, I'm not dead. I'm not actually dead. Like, and then they run out of Z biscuits and then you get into trouble and you just, it just helps to know who's going to need Z-Biscuits on a fairly regular basis and who's not.
And part of the vote is, are talkers going to be citizens or not? Are they? Yeah. So, you know, we don't want any of them hiding amongst us, right? No, just kidding.
I definitely saw it as more of a practical thing because, yeah, we absolutely want them here, but we don't want them to go cannibal Holocaust on us. So, biscuits! Biscuits for the people
who
need them.
Anybody else real unsettled by the fact that nobody knows what's in these biscuits?
I want to know where they're coming from. They were waiting for a shipment. Yeah.
Oh, just hang around.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I'm sure we will get that answer, and it will create 15 more questions and 5 more nightmares.
Besides, do we know what's in the things we eat anyway? Yeah.
Red number 5.
Yeah.
I feel like we all know what's in
the biscuits. Like, Soylent Green is people. Like, we all know what's in there. We all know it's brains. But we'll see. We'll see.
But if you collect the brains from people who are already dead and who aren't coming back, then you're recycling.
Yeah.
Right.
Harvesting.
Ooh. I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
But we get to spend some time, after the gang gets processed, we get to spend a little bit of time with two new characters, Dante and Pandora. And I, as we alluded to at the start of the show, I love the interactions between these two.
Oh, yeah.
Something I didn't catch the first time around, but when Murphy enters the camp, Dante immediately starts making a beeline for him, and Georgia has to hold him back. And I was just like, ooh, what? Like, I'm wondering what sort of vibe Murphy gives off in his current state.
Lucifer.
To be fair, we don't know what happened to him all the way in the black room with the canister. Like, we just know he turned red.
Yeah. And that he still eats brains, and that, yeah. So.
And he's still Murphy.
Still very much Murphy.
There's something about his attitude would drive a talker mad, I think. It's like, no, really. You're sneering at me.
Okay, so none of us trust Pandora, right?
What an eerie character introduction.
I love Pandora. She terrifies me. I don't understand her, and I love her.
I remember catching a quick glimpse of her during the trailer for this season and immediately going, what? Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
I saw her promo picture, and I was just like, I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah.
It's not a looks thing. It's an actions thing. It's sidling up to Dante and going, you know, don't want what you can't have. You can't have it all. You can't. The way she was talking about living people makes me think that she's a talker, especially given full body covering, half mask, what may or may not be a wig. Like, something happened to her.
She reminds me of Dr. Poison and President Coin and, like, three other people I can't name right now, but just Captain in her own Planet. Unique.
Yes! What was her name? Blythe?
I can't. Blythe. Oh, my goodness, really?
Blythe or Blight?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
But
look up the name of that Captain Planet villain for us and throw it in the chat. We need to know now.
She's still a unique character, but it just reminds me of all of these semi-creepy people that, obviously she set the bomb. It's fine. We can say that now. She did it. I want to see where it goes.
And if I could toss out some major props to Lydia for that costume, because she's literally in, like, a full body condom.
Yeah.
It's latex from head to toe. And we're supposed to pretend it's, like, too cold for zombies to exist out here. So we're all in, like, leather trench coats, and she's in a body condom. And it's, like, 100 degrees outside. So she's just drenched in sweat in this, like, nasty and she's didn't complain at all. She's like, it's fine. And in the heels too, she's walking around in these, like, 8-inch heels.
She moves so elegantly. I never would have suspected.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I think we're all a little bit impressed with how she managed. And the mask too. Quite a while, the mask was actually glued to her face, so her lunch was like,
oh, no!
Just a smoothie out the other side.
Pretty much. Yeah. For some days, it was a smoothie.
Liquefied brains.
Yeah, liquefied brains. And whatever we could really get her to eat, you know?
Yeah.
Mostly brains.
Well, yeah, their interactions are so good. And we talked about it also. Zach Ward just knocked it out of the park as Dante. And I hope, in terms of whoever survived the explosion at the end, I hope he's still around, because I absolutely adore the dynamic he has with Georgia. It's really cool seeing you guys play off of each other.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird, like, having not had any chemistry reads with anybody, because usually for, like, a series regular role, you go and you're like 9,000 times you have a chemistry read or something like that. I'm like, okay, Dante, he's my best friend. Cool. I hope I like the guy.
We never studied chemistry.
Yeah. It's hard. And he wound up being, like, just, it was like my brother or something right off the bat. Just a super cool dude. I hope he feels the same way. If you don't, Zach, I'm sorry. It's unrequited, I guess. But, we're both into martial arts. We're both into, I used to be a police officer. He was, he did a lot of military tactical training and stuff for a lot of parts that he's done. So we had just a lot of stuff in common that we could talk about. And I don't think there was a scene that we were in where he didn't make me lose my shit laughing. Are we allowed to cut?
It's we totally okay. Level yeah. The shows. So you're good.
Yeah,
you're fine. Everything's fine.
There's a part where they're like the drunk delegates are like going at it, and we got to stop them. And he kind of charges at them, and I'm supposed to wave him off. I kept forgetting to do that. So finally, he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna make you pay attention to me." Pulls a gun out and just drives right up to this dude, which of course makes me just lose it. I can't get through the take for like the next 5 or 6 times, and it's just like, Zach, dang it! But yeah, he's awesome. His character's awesome. He plays him phenomenally, and it's he's a treat. He's definitely a treat.
Like I said, I hope everyone's still alive because I would love to see more of that dynamic play out.
I mean, what kills a zombie? Like, as long as the talkers don't get hit through the head, they're fine, right? We did get one of them in the preview just being like, what happened?
They could be damaged, but I mean, they have to be sort of annihilated.
Yes.
So.
Same way you would most zombies. Mm-hmm. Headshot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we
that
saw
will
one
slow
get
them down.
Shot.
My t-shirt!
I love this shirt, man.
And I just love that, like, for most of the show, every time we see someone pull out a gun, the stakes immediately ratchet up. And so, as the audience and then the characters who just arrived here were expecting the same thing, and then it's like, oh man, I like this shirt. And you kind of go, okay.
Yeah, and what I love, too, is also seeing Georgia having to sort of manage everything and constantly having to talk people down and reassure them and basically keep the wheels going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a talker in the actual talking sense. She does not shut up for a good long time. Georgia, yeah, because Georgia's very diplomatic and wants to believe that everything can be resolved with words, right?
Admirable.
Well, it's like, yeah, because we've had years of trying to resolve everything with guns and pikes, and it hasn't done anything, so let's try something else.
Apocalypse isn't over yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
New tactic.
Although I do like that we stuck with our pattern, and we get the gang back together, and they show up in a new place, and it all goes to hell by the end of the episode. Like, talk about pattern recognition.
Yeah, oh, to be fair, it would have gone to hell without them.
This is true.
Yeah, they didn't bring trouble with them. Yeah. Trouble was already brewing.
But I mean, that's happened before. I'm thinking of, because this episode is forever burned into my brain, because now I'm paranoid about guest booking. Season 1, episode 6. You have to get Tom in for this episode. Okay, why is that? But that was going to go to hell anyway. They just happened to be there. So it's about half they bring it with them and half, well, your timing is terrible. Yeah.
And but we're very much glad that they are there.
But it doesn't change the fact that if the camera follows them into a location.
Yeah. Well, there's more I want to dig into in Numerica because we still have a lot to cover. But really quick, I want to remind you guys all about iTunes. Folks, if you haven't already gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment, we love hearing from you. It is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And we know we have an international audience as well. Sadly, we can't see those comments, so remember to take a screen cap of them and put them in the hashtag because they do still count. Everything, it makes us more searchable. It helps us book lovely guests. So guys, we really appreciate it when you go and do that and support us. So thank you so much to everybody who's already done so. So thank you guys again. Yes. I want to talk really quickly about some returning characters that we get in this episode who they disappeared for a little bit. And obviously we don't want any spoilers, so I'm going to throw this to the table real quick. Guys, Sun Mei says that she gives a story to Murphy about how she was rescued.
From what?
How many of us think that's absolutely not the whole story?
For our audio listeners, hands are going up around the table.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
She's awesome.
Yeah. And if you go back to that episode where they all disappeared, it's spooky. It is borderline supernatural.
It's very eerie.
It's like a horror movie even more than zombie apocalypse. You know, like, all of this is like a horror movie. It's the zombie apocalypse, but it's really like a horror movie.
So I know we obviously don't want any spoilers, but we just want to throw it out there. There's more to this story, and we'll just have to wait and see. Yes. But to get back to this episode, I want to talk about this flashback where we find out that Roberta and Georgia have history together. They met during the Black Summer. So, Michael, I wanted to ask, kind of what did you bring into this scene? Like, what was the idea to going back to establish this relationship?
It was simply to show that they'd. Am I still on? Because suddenly I'm not here.
I hear you.
Okay. Just that they had crossed paths once, very early on, when George was still a college student, just trying to figure out how to survive in the chaos, and Warren was, you know, had called to active duty, had probably had only been out on the streets with a gun and a military team for a week or two, and you know, none of them really knew what exactly they were doing, what they were dealing with, and so just to see two people like that, the one thing that was my entire invention that I had thought would be fun from the beginning is that George was the first person to use the phrase puppies and kittens.
I like that. Yeah.
I thought that was an excellent inclusion as well.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, that's where it comes from.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That's been a while.
And yeah, I wanted to ask also about playing this different side of Georgia, because she's so different in this flashback, and we see a much more vulnerable portrayal. Was it difficult to get into that headspace when normally she's very confident and in control?
I mean, when you have the hair, it just...
it's like you have to go there.
You just have to. It was kind of weird. It was weird because, like you said, you haven't seen much of George yet, but she actually is very vulnerable throughout the entirety. But she's definitely not like shaken and completely shut down kind of George, right? You don't really get that vibe from her. So that is weird. I don't often feel that in my own life, just being completely trapped and shut down, except maybe in traffic or something.
On the 405, ooh, you're like, all hope is lost.
Yeah. So it was interesting. It was a struggle. But like, just the way Kalita handled herself, I remember being in that scene, and you know, they've got the actual like shrapnel and stuff flying around or whatever, and she immediately just ducks on me, and it makes you feel very safe. And then as we're going, she grabs me, and I swear I was airborne for a moment. And I've got like 20 or so pounds on Kalita and probably a few inches, and she freaking pulls me, right? So it did, like, she put me in that place. Just, you know, having her to bounce off really helped. Otherwise, it would have, you know, if it was another actress that was like, come on, George, let's go, you know, whatever, it would have been much more of a struggle. But she definitely helped. And then just being very commanding, you know, screaming, what's your name? Just like, I don't know. So, yeah, that was just like, that was key to all of that.
It was great. That whole flashback was just wonderful.
And that was, you were an Eastern Washington University student?
Yeah.
In Black Summer?
Well,
I don't know that it was even really established. I mean, the shirt says Eastern, Eastern, but Eastern
University.
What?
Eastern University.
Yeah, oh, that's what it's... Okay.
Eastern X.
Because you shot at, is it Eastern Washington University?
Yeah.
But no inferences should be taken from that.
Gotcha. Right.
Just was the t-shirt, I think, we had available to us.
Fair enough.
Eastern something.
Yeah.
I believe we would have been more East Coast.
Well, in fact, I think we've established that Warren was with, like, the Pennsylvania National Guard, or Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Philly, in that area. So that east.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And if we all remember from the beginning of the series, we were more East Coast and making our way out to California.
Yes.
Early days of the zombie apocalypse.
Good times.
It was a different world. Talking about sort of early days, and one of the other characters that gets reintroduced, obviously Red. We get to see her again. And let's talk about this little subplot for a little bit, because we have Alicia Perez in the hashtag talking about how frustrated she was with Doc.
Oh, her gift game and that hashtag is always amazing.
Absolutely. Guys, what did you think of this little love triangle?
Like I said, it was one of my favorite moments of the show, is just Doc completely failing to deliver the information with any form of tact. 10K drinking the thumb drink and just the whole... I loved... Can we try this again? Can we try this again?
It was super just sweet.
I thought it was very clever callback writing, in a sense of when 10K was going through his quarantine examination, he said everything moves in slow motion, and then later she was moving in slow motion, and then Doc was hired for his bedside manner, and then he just bluntly drops that on 10K. I thought it was great.
For me, this is the closest I think Z Nation will ever get to like rom-com sort of situational. Situational, like, oh, it's all just a misunderstanding. And it's, again, we so rarely get nice things. It's nice to have this moment of levity where these two people who love each other are reunited. But there's a potential wrench in the works because Sarge, where does this leave her?
Threesome.
Problem solved.
Yeah. I don't know why. And like every time I say that, people are like, what the hell are you talking about? And like, you say that like it's not a legitimate solution. Come on, guys. Threesome.
Let's reshoot it that way. Yeah. Sure. That's fun. That's more fun.
Central, get me rewrite.
Everything's not already in and out of post. It's fine. It's fine.
We got time.
Well, we don't actually deal with it in this episode. You'll just have to see whether it's threesome or something else.
Or whether any of them even make it out alive.
Or something, yes.
Or something.
Yeah. Or something. Or. We'll just have to wait and see. I guess the only other thing I really wanted to touch on is Citizen Z. Guys, he gets to meet his fans. Aww.
I do love that they sent 10K in for an intercept. Like, bless them. Even in the apocalypse, fans who don't understand boundaries exist. And they're so funny.
To be fair, in the apocalypse, I think the amount of things to be a fan of has significantly decreased.
This is true. Can be a fan of the Murphy.
Oh, the Murphy's had his fan moments.
He already had his 15 minutes of fame.
A cult and an army.
So. But I'm just saying, you could be a fan of Murphy.
Yep. Took over at City. It's a normal day.
Yeah. There were problems.
Michelle, you pointed this out as a highlight of the episode. What did you think?
What were we talking about before we started talking about Murphy? I'm so sorry.
Getting to see Citizen Z again.
Oh, yeah. It's fun because he's had to kind of be in survival mode up at Camp Northern Light, and now he just gets to go back to being nerdy Citizen Z with his camera, filming everything for Numerica, like documenting the history. And dealing with his fans.
And I love that he realized that Doc and company were there by looking at his selfie feed and being like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, guys, we are running out of time. I'm going to go ahead and say let's go ahead and skip predictions this week because we are short on time. And there was an explosion, so it's going to be a cliffhanger. And we'll just tackle it next week when we get to it.
Predictions would just be, who do you think survived? And the answer is,
To our lovely guests, do you guys have any final thoughts on this episode that you would like the fans to know?
I'm just pleased that we're able to bring all our disparate, scattered group together. It's the show is most fun when they're all together. So
yeah.
It was fun to be able to do that early this year.
It's nice getting the band back together.
Yeah. And sending them on the road or whatever it is. But you have some fun, strange stuff to come.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be cool to see some of the other outposts too. And we didn't get to talk about Estes. Kind of the main...
Yeah,
the main guy there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a big
deal.
Don't
forget him.
Don't forget us.
Yeah, Zona Steve Jobs, yeah.
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 Yes.
Kind of an oversight that we didn't talk about it. So, but yeah, he's going to be a big player, assuming he survives the explosion, for sure.
Right.
Well, again, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Michael, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
Facebook under my own name, foolishly. And at CassettZN on Twitter.
Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
OK the KO on Twitter. And I wanted OK the KO on Instagram, but if you're listening,
release the name.
You haven't posted for like 8 years. So let me have, but it's just the KDO. It's KATYO on Instagram.
Well, again, thank you guys so much for coming in. Yeah. Can't wait to see what the rest of the season has in store.
So much pain, I'm sure. So much pain.
Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I also basically live on the AfterBuzz TV animation channel, so Mondays and Wednesdays there.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Thank you guys so much to everybody who's tuned in. Don't forget to comment on iTunes. We will see you all next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.